Okay, thank you very much, Dan. Thank you very much, Annika. Thank you very much to Nominate Trust, and thank you very much to all of you for being here. I've been offered 10 minutes to try and give some sort of summary of the paper that you'll all devour eagerly on the tube on the way home, I dare say. So, and I want to kind of talk through kind of a bit why I wanted to do this, what I'm interested in to try and help contextualize some of the discussion in it. So as the title implies, it's an attempt to kind of over-ambitiously map the theory, practice, and policies that underpin our understanding of digital makers and digital making, which is a kind of vast terrain. And I kind of wanted to do that deliberately because I'm always struck by the way in which sets of arguments that have a particular historical position and a and relate to certain kinds of theories of learning or certain kind of social practices get imported into whatever is the kind of flavor of the month. And in some senses, digital making, whilst undoubtedly important, also occupies that position in that sense. Secondly, I was particularly interested in the history and the sort of life course approach to understanding how young people get engaged with, get rejected by, get involved with, drop out of, big participation in a range of kind of creative digital activities. And I'm interested in thinking very much about the day-to-day practice of young people's lives, of which schooling is, of course, a very important part, and other forms of education, but to try and kind of mesh our understanding of those larger trajectories, those larger routes, and those larger kind of contexts that kind of pull into the kind of discussion that we're particularly focused on. And kind of thirdly, I'm interested in bringing together very diverse kind of sets of interests, and that's kind of reflected in the three substantive chapters that comprise the report. So the three areas that I tried to focus on was one, studies of young people and what they kind of get up to by themselves, with peers, and relatively informally in families. Secondly, looking at curriculum initiatives, but that in itself isn't quite so straightforward, because curriculum doesn't just mean school, it also means the range of other semi-formal, informal, and non-formal learning opportunities that young people will get engaged with at various stages of their lives. And then thirdly, I wanted to try and intertwine this with some of the imaginary and aspirational ideals that come through policy rhetoric. We know that this is a particular field that is being fought over in policy terms at the moment, and that's in a way how it should be, but it also reflects the way that different kind of policy imaginaries inflect this whole field of young people's creative digital activities with different kind of aspirations. And also I'm interested in the way that different kind of institutions, people with different kind of backgrounds, which is clearly reflected in the room here today, coming from different kind of institutions, also kind of come together with their own sets of interests without perhaps realizing what people from other histories and other institutions will bring with them to the kind of table. So the second chapter in the review looks at people in everyday life and the kind of studies that we have of hobbies, interests, and enthusiasms, which sounds a sort of very kind of matter-of-fact and quotidian kind of way to kind of get going. But the truth of the matter is that we don't actually have a lot of understanding about the ways that young people might become engaged in creative activities. There aren't that many studies. There are virtually no longitudinal, long-term kind of studies of young people as they move their way through, either successfully or unsuccessfully, depending on how we define those, various kinds of digital activities. We don't tend to track people between school and other kinds of learning domains, despite the fact that everybody pays lip service to learning being a kind of ecological argument in which everybody is embedded. There are very few kind of research studies which have the wit or the initiative or the kind of funding to be able to follow and track people through diverse experiences as they grow up in their lives. So one kind of key argument there is that we need different kinds of research which is going to have to be imaginative and it's going to have to be funded in different kinds of ways that can explore the sort of catalysts and disconnects in young people's lives. Because the key thing, it seems to me, is to come to some understanding about the nature of the progression in people's learning, young people's learning, as they engage with and develop their experiences across a range of media. We don't even really have a terribly attenuated understanding of the ways in which people's creative activities in specific media with their own historical, their own histories, like how you, like film or music or writing, you know, old-fashioned things like that, how they're kind of integrated in and synthesized and remixed and reworked in the new kinds of forms of producing that are at the heart of digital creativity. So both from the point of view of looking at young people and the different kind of ways in which they come into the creative activities, and also the way that the different disciplines themselves are of creative making is an incredible state of flux and change, both drawing on older guild disciplines, but also creating new forms. These are kind of things that we need to look at in different kinds of ways. The second substantive chapter looks at what I call curriculum interventions and innovations. And there I tried to track and break down initiatives that people might undertake by themselves or with friends and informally. And there's a lot of excitement around learning moments, kind of key episodes in kids' lives or all of our lives where you kind of get to grips with something new. But again, there isn't the mechanisms to kind of track and trace the way that those kind of episodes and key moments might interlink with other kinds of knowledge and other kinds of experiences. But a lot of the innovative and exciting digital making activities are available online, but it's not clear how you could build on those and take them elsewhere. The second kind of area in this kind of category of curriculum is what is the sort of out-of-school, non-formal, community-based kinds of learning. And the third is obviously debates about the curriculum itself. I don't particularly want to get into that, which is more other colleagues' expertise here at this particular point in time. But it's not, what I do want to say is that if we just limit the debate to focusing on what the formal curriculum issues are, we kind of exclude a huge amount of the important discussion involved in trying to understand digital making more kind of conceptually and generally. The third kind of substantive chapter looks at what I call sort of policy aspirations. And I think here, even in this kind of area, there are this field of digital making brings together three discrete and separate traditions which don't really talk to each other. I think we can trace some of the language from a concern with creativity in the creative and cultural industries. We can trace an important kind of theme around the becoming digital citizens and informed consumers coming out of a whole other set of discourses. And then thirdly, a whole set of interests around work, skills, competence, computers, and of course economic growth. And it seems to me that the kinds of policies that we're accustomed to in this country that derive from a particular kind of sectoral interest don't always come together in a very educational sense or with a great interest in education when it comes to kind of considering all of those sorts of things. What kicked me off with the whole thing were big questions about the relationship between kind of learning and the economy, because there can be no doubt that some of the current interest in digital making and this particular kind of initiative comes from a particular, some would say nostalgic and others would say prospective, kind of desire to kind of recreate a certain kinds of growth. And we wanted to know what kind of evidence exists to explain the relationship between qualifications, training routes, and employment, with a particular interest in the ways in which a broad notion of digital making experiences might impact on and be affected by changes in the economy and production practices. Secondly, as I've already implied, we wanted to explore understandings of how people develop expertise, experience, and skills in digital making. We have very little sense of how this comes about and how these capabilities might develop across the life course trajectories. And I guess in general, I looked at the literature which explored young people from sort of roundabout. I'm not really into developmentalist stages, and I think that's a whole category which gets challenged by the digital anyway. But broadly speaking, over sort of 10, 15 years, from sort of 10 to 25 kind of thing, which I think is where it all happens. Also the relationship between other broader interests in digital making, which stem from a concern with civics, which stem from a concern with participation, which is a word that's often used in American literature around kind of youth and the digital and community. So what did I find out, or what did I claim that the research said? and what we do know and what we don't know, which was, in a sense, part of the more modest aims that lay behind the review, even if the kind of field itself is more ambitious than that. So I think I could say with some certainty that research tends to cluster around an interest in the expressive and civic dimensions of participating in digital cultures. There's quite a lot written about that. But this doesn't really explore the relationship between the more creative possibilities afforded by technology and actual day-to-day usage. So with all the emphasis on kind of cultural and expressive uses, it's not that detailed in analyzing and understanding creative potentials. In terms of the focus on curriculum, and remember I was trying to get at a sense of curriculum relating to both out-of-school and in-school organizations, I think there is a range of different educational philosophies and theories of learning underpinning both policy and practice-led interventions across all these domains. And I think there's two questions here. One is a question about what constitutes the specifics of digital creativity, both in relationship to the medium and the convergence of older and other interdisciplinary creative traditions. And secondly, there are different models of learning at work across different kinds of initiatives. So when people tend to lump together digital making initiatives, there may be very different kinds of senses of outcomes or experiences that are implied in the bundling together of those ideas. And in terms of the policy debate, whilst there can be no doubt that digital creativity, digital making, and participation are key concerns for social, economic, and political policy, but the fields and the fields preoccupy teachers, learners, and families in different ways, it's quite extraordinary how the different fields don't really talk to each other. So you'll have policy in one kind of area relating to kind of developing a computer literate workforce, if you saw what I mean, and then you'll have kind of what people are trying to do in schools, and then you'll have policy relating to the creative and cultural industries. And that if you look at the kind of range of bodies that are charged with responsibility over these areas, they don't tend to talk to each other in this way. And it's quite extraordinary, given everybody seems to claim that the digital is the way forward, how little common ground there is in that kind of area. So I end up making three key recommendations, which may or may not interest you as a kind of focus for discussion here. The first one of these is a need to focus on exploring and reconceptualizing digital creativity or digital making or digital literacy. Now, I'm a bit agnostic about which term you want to use, and I think there may be some merit. People have been very vexed by digital literacy, for example, as a term. All of these words carry a particular baggage with them and often get in the way of furthering debate. But we need some kind of way of bridging digital making as a kind of integrated concept in that way. The second kind of recommendation is that we need work which can model growth, development, and progression in creative people, or people engaged in making and devising, as they move across and between different life course experiences participating in digital creativity. And we need to particularly focus on barriers, trajectories, routes, R-O-U-T-E-S, as well as R-O-T-S, catalysts and disconnects that enable or hinder individuals to continue to develop. We have very little sense of that kind of mapping. And the third kind of recommendation is that we need, I don't want to just sound like some crusty old academic recommending more research, but we need different kinds of systematic accounts of learning around digital creativity, particularly those which focus on learning in different kinds of educational contexts. So if you think of an educational context with a lowercase e, i.e. what people are learning at home or what people learn with their friends and things like that, there's very little research it's difficult. I won't pretend otherwise. There is little research which kind of investigates this learning across and between kind of ways. So rather than just accounts of more learning in the same kind of location, we need other kinds of research which can capture and look at how people learn outside school with their friends in different kinds of social relationships, et cetera, alongside and intertwined with what's on offer in schools and schooling and other forms of training and university learning. So those were my three. That's what I think the research, my reading of the evidence, takes us to. And I'll call a halt there and look forward to the opening this up for discussion.
Fantastic. Thank you, Julie.